Most of you probably know by this time that James Wentz passed away, and we want to keep his family and friends in our thoughts and prayers. The services will be here at the church, including the calling hours. Tuesday evening from 5 to 8 p.m., calling hours here. And then the next day, 9 to 11, calling hours on Wednesday with the service at 11 a.m. So please keep that in your thoughts and in your prayers. Also, because of that, the noon Bible study on Wednesday will be canceled. Then the interactive Bible study and the contemporary worship on Thursday will be canceled because there won't be a parking spot available for any of us to come, because we are going to be celebrating Zao's opera workshop. And so please take note of that. And I'm sure that Brad will tell you whether there are still tickets available. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. A few announcements this morning from me. First of all, as Pastor said, Zion Opera Workshop will be occurring this week, starting on Thursday. We have nearly sold out of our Friday tickets now. So I had announced last week that the tickets for Saturday matinee were gone. I think I have about 18 Friday tickets left, which will go very quickly. We do have tickets for Thursday evening and, believe it or not, Saturday evening, which used to be our fastest selling show before we put in the matinee. So if you do need tickets, we do have them available. I definitely recommend you come see this show. There's something in it for everyone. Completely family friendly. Beth's excited. It's one of the first shows we've done that doesn't even have any innuendo in it. It's just all good, clean family fun. So please bring everybody out to see the show. You won't be disappointed. Also, Family Promise then will kick in soon thereafter. And Beth sent out her email this morning and already found dinners for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Saturday. So we are looking for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for meals. We're looking for fellowship for any of those days. And if anybody would like to just come and sleep over, that would be greatly appreciated as well. Just see Beth or myself, and we will be more than happy to put you on the schedule for Family Promise. Brenda, I'd like to call Brenda up. This morning we had a really nice combined Sunday school, all of the classes together with the confirmands, and this was thought of by Brenda and Abby, and we're very grateful that Brenda has decided to step up and co-chair the Board of Christian Ed. She has a whole lot of really exciting stuff going on, and we appreciate it. So let me get to the microphone. Check, test.
Hi, sorry, we were just trying to get a little organized here. So the confirmands had a challenge this morning. Put these letters together, and if you guys hold it up high, what it spells out is imagine. And that's what our Sunday school lesson was about, was imagining what it's like to have a disaster hit your area, what happens to you, and then imagining what great good we can do with God's power in us to help them put it back together. And it was it was to help kick off One Great Hour Sharing Collection, which starts this week. And I think Josh has the box for that. So each kid got a coin box that they're gonna fill up with what they can over the next couple weeks. Whether that's that it's completely full or not, that's okay, because they can give what they can out of their hearts to help imagine and make a difference. And Brad has here our thermometer that the kids are gonna fill in, so each time they bring their box in, they get to fill up one of the lines on the thermometer, and our goal is to try to get it to the top by the end of this time, which is March 22nd. And then we also talked about, with that, Josh, do you want to hold this part up? We looked into a kaleidoscope to see that the beauty that God can give us with broken pieces, and hopefully we can help families also make broken pieces come together into something beautiful after they have a disaster that would unfortunately hit them. And then the other thing they did, would you hold this up please, Jackson? We took that theme of kaleidoscope and colorful love and put it together into a card that the kids were making cards that we're gonna send out with the daffodils to all the shut-ins, which will be delivered later on this month as well. So they did great, they worked together really well, and it was a really nice time. I don't know if Brett has anything else to add.
No, just once again, want to thank Brenda and Abby for arranging everything and getting all the materials together. And it is great to see our 7th and 8th grade confirmands working with the young children. It's really great to see. There wasn't one of them that was disgusted that they had to work with a child. So thank you, Brenda. Thank you, Abby. Are there any other announcements that need to be highlighted this morning? Then at this time, I would point your eyes to the back of your bulletin, ask you to look over the list of prayer concerns. And during the prelude or any quiet times during the service, I would ask that you please say a prayer for all those folks, and also, of course, include the Wentz family in those prayers. Are there any other additions to the prayer list this morning? Then let us take this moment in silence to prepare our hearts to worship God.
morning, please join me in the call to worship. We have entered into the season of Lent. Sundays, however, are not part of Lent.
We have entered the wilderness time. The day of worship is the oasis of the desert.
We are here to worship the God of all creation. We gather to remember God's revelation in Jesus.
Today we revisit the Garden of Eden. We remember God's overflowing generosity.
We worship God who gives us choices and limits. Are we open to God's counsel and instructions?
Today we remember the temptations Jesus faced. We want to learn to make good choices.
Please join me in the unison prayer. Life-sustaining God, with us through all our trials and temptations, bear us up through the season of self-examination, that we might feed on the bread of your word, open ourselves to your presence without demanding proof and signs, and let go of all the idols that surround us to worship and serve you with joy and delight in an unrighteous heart through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Please share a sign of peace with those around you.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Sin came into the world through one person, Adam. Because of his original sin, all humanity is by nature sinful. The result of sin is estrangement from God, condemnation, and death. But as sin came into the world by one person, sin went out by one person, Jesus Christ. Through him comes grace, which brings acceptance by God and eternal life. The epistle reading today is from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to the condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to the justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many were made righteous. Here ends our epistle reading.
This morning, we're beginning a process of educating ourselves as to what we do here and in our community through Zion. And this morning, we're going to start with giving you an opportunity to take a few moments to think about what it is that our Mission Outreach Committee does. And so I invite Kathy to begin leading us into telling that story.
The body of Christ has many parts, and each part matters. And throughout the year, we'd like to highlight the works of each of the parts of the body of Zion. Today, we'd like to honor the Mission Outreach Ministry. We want to tell you a little bit about the work that the ministry does and thank its members for what they do, most importantly. Throughout the year, we'll also recognize other groups that have done work throughout Mission Outreach and the other committees that meet and work throughout the church and groups that work in the church. Could I have the members of the Mission Outreach Committee, Joanne Blue, Linda Gray, Barry Fisher, Judy Gregg, Katie Grenfell, Nancy Cuck, Cheryl Kunkel, Cindy Mangle-Smith, and Beverly Moser, please come forward? And while they do, I'd like to highlight a little bit of what they've done this year. In the past year, the Mission Outreach Ministry has collected toiletry items for the needy, raised money to purchase blankets, delivered daffodils to shut-ins, supported Big Brothers and Big Sisters by Bowling for Kids' Sake, raised funds for the Guatemalan Healing Hands Foundation, supported One Great Hour of Sharing, organized our outdoor service, packed and served snacks at the bus stop ministry, raised money for the crop walk and neighbors in need, raised money to purchase a heifer, a goat, honeybees, and a flock of chicks for the Heifer International Project. Delivered white gifts to Bethany Home and poinsettias to shut-ins. They've also supported Peaceful Nights, Phoebe Home, Turn to Us, Healthy Smiles, Family Promise, and more. In all, distributed over $7,000 in 2019 through these various missions. The consistory and members of Zion would like to thank each and every person who worked tirelessly in 2019 to make this year a success. and looks forward to the 2020 goals that were already set, and you're on the way to meeting and exceeding them. Thank you to the Mission Outreach Ministry for the important work that you do for Zion, the Lehighton community, and even beyond. If anyone's interested in participating in these wonderful missions, I'm sure that they would be happy to have you on board. Thank you for all you do.
And just a note, the little picture on the back of the bulletin comes from our first interactive Bible study. It says, "Be kind." And if you were there, you got to make your own little stone reminder and paint your own little bee on it. So those are the kinds of special activities that we are having as a craft at that time. One of the other things I want you to think about is there's two words, and it goes back to our M&Ms that Ken brought in for us, mission and ministry. Ministry is our call to show Christ's love, but it is through each of our individual missions that we accomplish that. So all of these people and all of you who participate in any way are to be praised because you are doing what God has called you to do. And I say thank you. Will the children come up, please?
The size of these people. I wanted to show them who had the real power. I'm gonna blow smoke and fire and rock them with my wings.
Sky, that's not very good.
But I gotta do that. They have to know I'm the most powerful.
Sky, look at your size. The smallest of these children are bigger than you.
Yeah, but...
No, but... You know what you remind me of right now?
The king of the whole world!
No, not the king of the whole world. You remind me of a little puffer fish.
What?
Well, in the ocean, there's this tiny little fish. But whenever it's frightened, it puffs itself up to about 5 times its size. Try and scare away every enemy or anything that might eat it.
Oh. Well, I was just trying to show them who had the real power.
Who has the real power? God.
So it doesn't do any good if I can breathe fire? Or I can flap my wings and fly. Well, what do I have to do?
Trust and believe in God. Perfect.
Oh, okay. I'll try not to be a puffer. Will you pray for us?
Yes, I will. God, sometimes when we're frightened, we do puff ourselves up. Sometimes when we want people to know we're important, we pat ourselves on the back. We do all kinds of things that try to show our power rather than rely on your love. Forgive us for being foolish and strengthen us with your love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Oh, man.
Thank you. You want a pretzel? All right.
There's Adam in the garden, surrounded by absolutely everything he could need. Out comes the snake and goes, "Yo, Adam." Adam goes, "Yeah? Didn't God say you could eat everything in the garden?" And Adam goes, "He sure did. Look at all the stuff he gave us." And, "Oh, he did say not to touch that particular tree." Why? "Well, because if I touch that one, I'm going to die. Doesn't look poisonous to me." "Well, it's not poisonous, I guess, but he doesn't want us to touch it." Two trees in the center of that garden, one the tree of life, the other, you know what kind of tree it was that he wasn't supposed to touch? What kind was it? Well, the Latin Vulgate says it was an apple tree. Actually, it doesn't say that. It says malus fructus, which means evil fruit. Scientifically speaking, there were no apples anywhere in the East until Israel was established in a nation in the 1940s, when the first apples were brought there. But apples are great fruit. Any Pennsylvania Dutchman knows that. Apple dumplings, apple pie. By the way, you can order your apple dumplings ahead of time right now. See, I snuck that little advertisement in. But Adam makes the simple mistake that we've made for generations. He relies on his own understanding instead of on God. So he reaches out and he eats the apple. And then his eyes are opened and he knows he's sinned. And so when God comes to walk in the garden, he hides. And when God calls him out, he says, "Adam, did you eat from that tree?" And Adam, like any good man, says, "Yeah, but the woman you gave me, she gave it to me." And God says, "No excuse." And then he says, "Well, that snake that you left into the garden, he tricked me." And God says, "No excuse. What you do is on your own head. You have thought too highly of yourself. You relied on yourself instead of me, and that is the nature of sin. And it has come down to us through countless generations that that's what we do. We rely on ourselves instead of relying on God. Even Sky, hoping to scare all you big people off so he could feel powerful rather than relying on God. We're Americans. We're the top of the pile. We're Reformed. We're better than the Catholics. We're Dutch. And you know, if you're not Dutch, you're not much. From the very beginning, we walk away from God. A young friend of mine once asked me, he said, "If God's really loving, how could he send us to hell?" And I looked at him and said, "He doesn't. We choose to go there because we get to follow ourselves and lock God out of our lives. The gates of hell are locked from the inside. We lock God out of our lives. And when we discover what we've done, we figure out where we are. But in his grace, God turns that around. And in its abundance, Jesus comes and makes us whole. Now, there are hundreds of stories in the Old and New Testament about people relying on God rather than on themselves. One of my favorites is the story of David, the little shepherd boy. The whole army is afraid to go out and face the Philistines because Goliath is there, the giant. David says, I'll rely on God and I'll go out and stand against him. And then the scripture says something interesting. It says he went out and picked up 3 stones and went out to meet Goliath. You know, and when I read that, I thought to myself, I thought he was going to rely on God. Why would he take 3 stones? If he's going to rely on God, he only needs 1, right? God will guide the stone. So I started to do a little research. My mind worked strange. So I went back into Philistine history, and I discovered something. Goliath had 2 giant brothers. David picked up 3 stones. How do we fully rely on God? What is it that we do? Oh, we can rely on ourselves. We have a lot of abilities. But it's when we begin to think that we control all of the outcomes that we get in trouble. We have an old hymn, This Is My Father's World. Do we really believe that, or do we think it's ours? If this is our Father's world, how are we taking care of it? If everything we have is provided for us as it was in the Garden of Eden, why do we pile so much stuff away? My grandmother stopped canning at age 80. She died at age 85. When we went into her cellar, there were 184 quart jars of things she had canned. Still there after 5 years. Now, they were all good yet. She was a great canner. But how much stuff do you need? I made the mistake of going shopping this weekend, and I bought 2 new ties. Now, those of you who know me know I have a pile of ties. But these were on sale and they attracted my attention. Too often we're like that with everything in our world. We're attracted to too much stuff and we want to make it ours. Gimme, 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 gimme. That's not what God intended. Rather than this, he meant us to do this. And the missions of this church show that we're doing that. But it's hard because in the stillness of our hearts, there's always that little voice that's telling us we know better. That little nudge from the devil. That makes us think that God doesn't get it in the modern age. How many of you drive a Ford? Seriously? None of you drive a Ford? Oh, there's a couple of hands out there. How many a Chevy? A Dodge? A Toyota? We fight about which is the best. You know what Ford stands for, you. Found on road dead, fix or repair daily. Did you ever hear that one? Dodge, do you know what that stands for? Them old dudes get everything. Chevrolet, cracked heads, erratic valves, rust, oil leaks, erratic transmission. Oh yes, and Toyota. Those old Yankees ought to ask. We needle anybody and everything that's different than what we think is the best. The tree of life that was in the center of the garden, that provided for Adam and Eve's food, from which they were cut off because of the sin, which means they would die. You know what happened to that tree of life? The Bible tells us that it's in heaven, and that the tree of life rests over the river of life, and it produces fruit in all of the seasons to feed the hungry, and the leaves are for the healing of the people. Is it literally a tree? I don't know. But the symbolic answer is this, that God in his grace gives us what we need, but not if we focus on ourselves alone. The grace of God is seen in this, that we are to partner with him to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters and to do his will. Now I look out here and there's a bunch of retired teachers. Jimmy was a great man and a coach. All of us have particular talents. But only when we use all of those gifts for the purpose of showing God's love do they produce the fruit that leads to life, not only for us, but for others. You see, it was the abundant selfishness of Adam and Satan and countless generations. It was like Sky putting our wealth in our power or in our gigantic size, rather than trusting in God and picking up that one stone for one enemy and three stones for three. And it's only when we really accept God's abundant grace for us and live it that the kingdom of God becomes a reality among us. Go into his world and live that grace, not trusting in yourself, but in his love. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we too often think too much of ourselves and think too little of what you have done for us. That man, Jesus, who had walked faultlessly before all of his brothers and sisters, ended up in a garden, weighted down by what was going on and by the decision that he had to make. And there came that snake, the worm, testing him, challenging him. And finally, when he had had enough, and envisioned in his heart and mind exactly what he had to do, his outcry was this: "Get behind me, Satan. As for me, Father, your will be done, not my own." That was when the promise was complete, that by death came into the world through one man. Likewise, life would come through that one man, Jesus of Nazareth, who did exactly what God called him to do. And you bid us do the same. So be present with us as we reach out to those who are hurting and lonely and afraid and grieving and estranged. Help us to use what we have and what we are to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and welcome the stranger. Help us to reach out with the same kind of love that Jesus showed, never asking, "Are you a Jew? Are you perfect?" But rather, remember the love of God. Be present with us, even as we pray the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debtors.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is number 11.
Thank you. Good morning. I just wanted to ask for some prayers for my son Nicholas, who is on a mission. He accepted to go to Senegal, Africa with the Peace Corps, and he is there and will be hopefully there for the next 27 months. So he is doing God's work in an awesome way, and I would just ask for you to keep him in your thoughts and prayers. And I will be sharing information as I get it with Ken, so maybe he can post it, or I do have a Facebook page that I know some of you have seen some of the pictures I shared. But it's going to be quite a culture shock for him, and I'm anxious to hear and see how he does. So maybe as he gets settled in, we can figure out a way to help the people of Senegal. He's not quite sure where he will be officially stationed, but he is hoping to do some economic development with the people there. So I'll keep you posted, and in the meantime, if you can keep him in your prayers, I would really appreciate that. So we are at the time of our ritual of friendship. If you would please take the friendship pad and sign it and pass it along to your neighbor and meet and greet those who may be new this morning. As with Adam and Eve, our greed and pretensions are exposed before God. It is so tempting to want more of everything for ourselves. Yet it's strangely true that only in generous sharing do we finally realize that we have enough, that God has blessed us richly beyond anything we could ever deserve. We give with gladness. By your surprising grace, O God, our eyes are opened, our ears unstopped, our hearts attuned to the needs of others. We give so more people may know your acceptance and forgiveness. We support the ministry of preaching, teaching, and healing among us and through the outreach of the church. Expand our horizons, we pray, and tear down the limits of our caring. Amen.
table of our Lord is open to all who confess Christ as Lord and who come to remember him. Will we take a moment of silence to prepare our hearts for communion? Will you join me in prayer? The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to God. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give God thanks and praise. Gracious and loving God, who sustains us through your grace, prepare our hearts to receive this holy sacrament of communion. We open our hearts, minds, and souls to the presence of your Spirit and ask you to draw us closer to you. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took yet another cup of wine, and having given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." By eating this bread,
we proclaim Christ's death, celebrate Christ's resurrection, and wait for Christ's coming again. Come, Christ Jesus.
Loving God, we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that your Spirit will be with us in this sacrament. The table of our Lord is now ready. Let us celebrate together.
At Christ's command, take, eat. In remembrance of him, take, drink. Let us pray together. We give thanks to you today, O God, for your presence here with us. We thank you that you have refreshed us and renewed us at your table today. Through this holy meal, we ask that you strengthen and enrich our faith in you. We pray these things in Christ's most holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
have been blessed by abundant grace. Now may we go forward in that grace to be an abundant blessing. Go in Christ. Amen.